Lecture 3. Quietly, I observe the markings on my fingertips and flow with the melody of my physical body and its inner harmony. Professional descriptions notwithstanding, the swirls and all smile. Quietly, I observe the markings on my fingertips and the flow with the melody of my physical body and its inner harmony. We have magic in us at every turn of the way. Everything we do is magic. We have magic in our eyes, the ability to see. And how do you see? Upside down. They say your eyes have to flip the scene so it's right side up. So if we're looking at the world upside down, then really this is how the world is, the other way around. And it doesn't seem reasonable. But have you noticed nobody really pays much attention to discussing it? Nobody wants to get into it? Because if we ever start discussing and worrying about the rationale of the sky being upside down, that the sky should really be down here and the earth up there, can you imagine how dizzy that would make you feel just to think about it? Now, it's true. It's true if the United States would take a leader and the metric system, it would be no time at all, and the United States would be thinking metric. I mean, once you get going in it and you do it, you redo everything, and all the old stuff is worn out and gets thrown away. There's only classics and antiques that are using the regular stuff, you know. Most of the other stuff is metric. You get used to it. And once you start using driving on the left or the right side of the road, you get used to it. It's a matter of a few changes. But we waited a long time. As I said, General Washington ordered the Congress to go metric back when he was president. He was the first president of the United States over 200 years ago. And they still haven't done it. They still haven't done it. They've thought about it and they've done a little bit, but they haven't really done it. Now, why does it take so long to make changes where you're so accustomed to it, you're so used to it? Why is it that we don't want to know how our eyes flip the scene upside down to make it right side up for us? We don't want to believe that the world out here is upside down. We don't want to believe that. Now, maybe if we faced it and believed it or learned about it, we might find that something else comes into play there. And maybe not, but we don't want to know it. We just don't. Now, the same goes for the fingerprints that we have. The swirls on our fingerprints, everybody's different. Throughout the world, they take fingerprints because they want to check on who's who and where they are and what they have. But now, they're not doing that. Now, they're using a new system. And what is that?
DNA.
DNA.
No.
Biomedical.
The eye. They look at the eye and they read the eye. They're taking eye readings now. And this is the latest thing that they have. DNA has proved not to be that true because there are variations in DNA. And I haven't read up much on that, but that's what they said in one of the articles recently. And there's variation in the DNA, so you don't hear about it anymore. Yeah. They're not doing it. What they're doing at the airport, they read your eyeball. They take a picture of your eyes. You look at the, you think you're having your photograph taken, but really they're taking a picture of your eyes. And then they are making studies of this. Now, the millions and millions of people that they're doing this for, they're making quite a saving of it, just like the fingerprints, you know. Now, why did they have the fingerprints? Because they thought everybody's fingerprint is different, and it is. But what happens to a person who has their hand cut off or who has their fingerprints taken off surgically or something like that? They don't have that for a record. Now, they can't say that that person is somebody or is not somebody because they're nobody. They're now a nobody with no fingerprints. Well, now, what about the few people who don't have eyes? They're nobodies. But the people who don't have eyes, they can handle pretty well, because there's so few of them compared to the total number of people. But the DNA, everybody's got that. And that is something that they've been having some argument and discussions about. We want to think of the fingerprints, if you will, or the eye print. And what is this being used for? It's being used for identification. No. Why is it being used for identification? They'll have a new system coming out soon, I'm sure. But they maybe read your mind or some other wonderful thing. And when they do this, what's going to happen? Many things are going to change. Worldwide, many things are going to change. Because you don't know how much is being done negatively or positively on behalf of the world, because it is poorly understood. Take, for instance, the snowflakes. Every snowflake is different, they say. Every snowflake. Now, that is a lie, because nobody has ever been able to take every single snowflake that ever fell and record it. I mean, that just can't be done. But they say every snowflake that's recorded is different, even in the same snowstorm, you know. They're going to come up with something that's going to change the DNA. They're going to come up, and they have. They're going to come up with something that's going to change the fingerprints and the eye prints. They're coming up with these things now. Why are they coming up with them? Well, I say you are an international, universal person. I am an international, universal person. I have no tie to any time, to any place. And I have no need for anything in any time, any place. So what happens? So wherever I want to be, I think myself there, and I'm there. Now you say, well, why don't you do that now, Herb? You know, it's our airline ticket here. Why don't you do that now? Not yet. Not yet. I want to make sure I'm doing it for the right reasons. But if I'm doing it to save money, it'd be easier to manifest money than it would to manifest yourself. But I'm working on these things and giving them consideration just for the amusement of it, the fun of it, not because it has to be done. And this is beautiful. Now, what are you doing in your life that makes you an individual? What are you doing in your world that makes you so unique, that makes you so very special? What are you doing that shows the world, because of your existence, that there's something beautiful taking place? Well, that's something we want to perhaps think about. We want to give it a lot of attention. Not a lot, but enough. And the attention is, who are you? Who are you? Are you the grand Buddha? Are you the grand master of all? Are you the great world king, the queen, the great world emperor or empress, you know? And the answer is, if you think you are. Now, why is it people like the president of South Africa, why is it that he didn't take a position higher than he did? He doesn't believe in it. He believes in democratic government. He believes in the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So he's not interested in making himself an emperor. He could. He's not interested in making himself a king. And this is why in Nigeria, I think, the change is going away from the kings to governors as a term. It always was there, but as a term, because it puts the wrong impression on. What is a king? A king is usually a potentate or a monarch who is over everybody. And Nigeria's had enough of that. They've had enough of that from being under the British rule. And they want to get out of that. And that's what they're basically fighting, but they don't know it. So If you, when you think of it, think of the Nigerian government as a harmonious government, being whatever is going to bless the people and allow it to grow the most beautiful. You see, that's what's done. Then that's what's done. But as long as you hold on to the government in Nigeria as a confused government, as a large group of mixed people who have different dialects on every street corner, as long as you're holding on to that, then you're holding on to nothing. You're not able to control anything. You're not able to experience anything. You're not able to know anything, because you are saying that it is a limited activity and you want it to be unlimited. Like we like to think the government in the United States is for the people, by the people, and all that sort of stuff. But there's a lot of limitations there, even there. Now, how do you want to be yourself? There's something in you, each of you, which is so spectacular, so marvelous, and so grand that it'll boggle your mind once you find out what it is. That's what you're going to be. Well, hey, we're getting old, you know. We're getting old to be running into finding out who we are and being who we are. No. You're not getting old. What you're doing is you're waking up to who you are. And as you wake up to who you are, your body becomes younger, your mind becomes younger, your whole life becomes younger, because you are now stepping into a new birth, a new experience. And this is what all of you are doing, whether you like it or not. And it's not in competition to anything, and it's not for anything or against anything. It's just you being yourself, you following your own inner path and living who you are. Now, what is your dream for yourself? What is your goal for yourself? What is your aspiration for yourself? Would you say that Mozart's aspiration for himself was to play the violin or to play the piano or to write music? What was it? What was Shakespeare's aspiration for himself? What did Shakespeare really want to be? What did he really want to do? He wasn't doing it. What did he really want to do? Look it up. See what these people really wanted to do, and they didn't do it. They didn't do it. Now, why didn't they do it? They didn't do it because they didn't have the courage of their conviction. The courage to go in and see it done. Each one of us can have that courage. We can go in and see it done for ourselves. We can go in and be who we are. Now, who are we? Who are we really? Are we related to the world? Think about it. Are we related to time and space? You say no. Are we related to somebody else's idea of what how things should be done? Now, if I were to say to any of you, all right, right now, this moment, you each are the president of Nigeria. You say, well, there's three of us. That's okay. You're each the president of Nigeria. Now, how would you run Nigeria? What would you do with Nigeria? How would you handle it? How would you continue doing what it's doing? Would you continue drilling for oil? Would you continue doing all the things that could make Nigeria wealthy and famous? What would you do? Now, you don't tell me. What would you do if you were the president of Nigeria and you had the authority and the background that everybody supported you in whatever you did? What would you do to make Nigeria come out of its slump? To have the people be waking up to being who they really are? Now, you don't answer it, but what would you do? And what would you do, knowing the Nigerian government from working inside it as you did? How would you bring about changes in the government? And you have no trouble. If you want to do it, you have no trouble. You just speak your word and it's done. There's no argument. What would you do? How would you create the Nigerian people? Not the Nigerian people, but a Nigerian government. How would you create that? And what would the Nigerian government do? And how would it, give free visas to everybody to come and go as they wish, always? You know? Or would you say, there may be some benefit for doing it the way they're doing it? How would you do it? You see, when you start realizing, you're going to think about, how would it do it? Then you start saying, that affects me. That affects me. Now, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to work with it? Now, I'm not talking foolishness here. It may sound strange, but if you were the president of Nigeria, each of you, and each of you had the opportunity to make Nigeria into what you wanted to do, what would you do? And I'll tell you what you'd do. Each one of you would say, no, thank you. I'm a free spirit. I'm off everywhere. But you have the opportunity to change the whole way of Nigerian thinking. That's okay, but that's not for me. I'm doing my thing. Could you do that? Could you give up the opportunity to make Nigeria into a famous, wonderful place just because you felt lazy? No? Now, if you had that ability, you also had this ability, could you say to yourself, I am independently wealthy? Could you say to yourself, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body eternally? Could you say to yourself, I love everybody and everybody loves me? And then you say to yourself, what more do I want? What more do I want? What more is going to be revealed in my life? Where am I? What more? This is what it means to be yourself and have fun. This is what it means to find who you are. And if you want to run for president, if you want to be the king whiz there, that's fine. If you want to just do yourself, that's fine too. What would you do? What would you do if you had the opportunity to be exactly what you want to be right now? Right now. No limitation. You just step in and the other guy steps out. Maybe dies and you take over. What would you do? You would not do what you think you would do. You would not go in there and run the government. You would not do that. I know. You would go in there perhaps and say, adios. Run it yourself. And then you'd go about your business, you'd go about whatever is in your thought, whatever is in your ideas, and you'd be a free spirit. You'd be a free spirit. And then, as being this free spirit, you see, none of you has the aspiration of being the boss of somebody else. None of you has the aspiration of telling other people how to live their lives and how to be good or bad. None of you has that aspiration. None of you has the aspiration to be a manager. All of you have the aspiration to be yourself, to be independent of anything, not to be controlled or directed by anything. None of you want to take over control of a business or an organization. None of you. But what do? You put your nose in the business or organization, what you read in the papers and newspapers and magazines. Now, if instead of doing that, you would look at that story in the magazines of whatever it is, of the Business Week or what have you, and you would immediately say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Just on those things alone. And bring divine order there. I challenge you. I challenge you, each one. I challenge you to take a magazine, a Business Week magazine or something, and take it every month. And just take the headlines each month and surround it with your pure white light of love like this, and say, you are in balance now. You are in divine order now. You are fully wonderful, complete, beautiful right now. Now, would you do that? And the answer is no, not now. But if you did, that's the kind of manager that you are. That's the kind of king and queen that you are. And you could have this country, this nation, whatever country you're interested in, be just utterly fantastic. It's up to you. But if you don't do this, if you don't take this challenge and move with it and have fun with it, you'll forget about it. And you'll think that it never happened. And because you think that it never did happen, because, you know, it's too far out, you won't think that you missed an opportunity. But you do. You miss an opportunity when you don't follow through on some of these things I suggest to you. Now, am I suggesting something terrible to you?
No.
Am I suggesting something time-consuming to you?
No.
No. You just take 5 or 10 minutes and go through the publication and bless each one as a positive, dynamic government by itself, doing its own work. Now, if you do that, this is your real aspiration in life. Your real aspiration, whether you like it or not, you're a practitioner. You are a healer. Healer meaning you return to the original purity and integrity of anything that you work with. Now, if you want to do that, you can have an experience that will just boggle your mind, lift you to the highest levels of expression. Yes, Herb, if it's so wonderful and so good, why don't you do it? Well, that's not my choice. It's not my choice to see the world better or worse. I am an independent person. I am an independent being. I am a free spirit. I do whatever I want to do. I go whatever I want, I say whatever I want, and I live whatever I want. And what I say and do is good. It's a blessing to everybody who hears it. Now, not everybody follows it, but everyone who does has a great benefit in their world. Now, if you want to have a great benefit in your world, and you want to follow something that's truly great, I recommend that you read this book, My Life by You. Your life written by yourself. Who are you? Are you the kind of person that is interested in seeing the world be at peace, at harmony, at joy, at oneness? I think you are. If you are that type of person who wants to see everything be at peace and harmony and joy, then that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. You want to take every single word that comes to your attention that says anything to you about how the world is, what condition it's in, and you say, it is now at peace. It is now in balance. It is now in harmony. And that's all. There's no panic. There's no pressure. You don't have to spend more than half a second on each country and on each circumstance in the magazine. But just do that. One person alone, and here we have three, one person alone, once a month, for 10 minutes, going in and taking, you can just stop at the newsstand and just page through the magazine without even buying it. Page through it and bless each one, and then when you're done, put it back, and you're all set. You're all set for the next month. But, Herb, why are you telling us to do this? Why are you saying we should do this? It seems contrary to what you usually say. You say we should do our own thing. Well, I have listened to each of you long enough to know that your thing is to see the world in harmony and in balance. I've listened to you long enough to know that each one of you is a dedicated person for the best and the highest of the world. And this is what you want to do. Whenever anything comes to mind, you immediately say, all is in divine order. And you are doing an unplanned program, but you're doing a good program. But now, if you were to do a planned program, where you just once a week or once a month go into the newsstand and pick up Newsweek or buy it or whatever you want to do, and read it, and not read it, but look at every headline and surround each headline with your pure white light of love, and realize that you're putting a cause in motion which is more powerful than any war weapon that ever was done by anybody. Why is it that some organizations are wealthy and some are poor? Well, the president, the owner, or the people involved are put to work treating with treatment that the company is successful. Now, have you had a special treatment program for your church that it's a successful church? No. Have you had a successful program for anything in your life? No. And you just took it the way it came. Well, now, just think if you were to consciously do something like that, how you would bless the whole world. You wouldn't change the world or make the world better or worse. You would just bless it. So that, okay? So it no longer had to go to war to do things. They talked to each other. Wouldn't that be nice? To have nations who talk to each other? Well, now, this is something you can do. This is a cause that you can put in motion. This is a case you can put in motion for yourself. Now, I have asked the group on campus to do something similar to this, but they haven't done it. I said, one of you has to be the head of the prayer ministry and every day have a prayer treatment for the University of Healing, being independently wealthy and successful and doing a good job. And they don't do it. Now, why don't they do it? The answer is simple. They don't believe. They do not think that it was a workable program. Isn't that something? Not to think that something like that's a workable program. It is a workable program. It's a very powerful workable program. When I worked in Silent Unity in Kansas City, Missouri, before they went to Unity Farm, we had every morning the entire healing ministry, Silent Unity ministry, would go into the chapel and we would treat for ourselves, treat for the organization, treat for, then we would treat for all the people who wrote in for prayer treatment. And that was a big chapel, maybe as big as several of your apartments here. Now, then later, they finished building the Unity Farm, and we went out there. And there, they had a bigger chapel. They had more people working in this healing treatment work. What were these people doing? They were saying, Unity is a successful organization. It's abundant. You know, they were speaking their word, and it was growing and growing and growing and growing. Fantastic. Now, did anyone recognize what was happening? Some people did. Maybe the big people who were leading the group did. But did the little people recognize it? If the little people had recognized it, imagine what they would have done for themselves. Imagine how they would have spoken for themselves and said that they are successful, they are happy, they are wealthy, they are good. Now, you can do that. You can do that for yourself. You don't have to have it for a group. You don't have to have it for an organization. But I say to you, the power, I believe, and I know, in each of you is so magnificent, so grand, that whatever you say, you can bring about peace on earth. Whatever you say, you can bring about wholeness on earth. Whatever you say, you can bring about abundance on earth and for yourself too. It's a wonderful thing. But it works. It works. Now, I told you that if you want to succeed as a practitioner, then what you do is you practice. Now, you practice by getting out there and taking your golf club and hitting the ball where you want it. Now, when you do that, you're not only learning how to put the ball where you want it, you're learning the principle of treatment. You're learning the principle of putting a cause in motion and having a result follow. You're learning the principle of the law of cause and effect and how to use it purposefully. Now, all of these lovely people, you've heard of child prodigies. A child prodigy is a child who's very talented when he's a child. And when he's an adult, oftentimes he's not a prodigy. Why is a person not a prodigy in later life when they were as they were a child? Well, they stopped practicing. They stopped demonstrating what they could do. They lived off of their laurels of their child prodigy days. Well, people may live off the laurels of their ability to hit a golf ball, like Tiger Woods. But he didn't realize there was much more at stake for him, because the whole golf industry was his at his beck and call. But he went out and felt he was superior and he could go above the marriage vows and do things outside the marriage vows, and people didn't like that.
He thought he would get away with it.
And get away with it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he thought.
Yeah, he thought he'd get away with it.
Yes.
Yeah, he thought he'd get away with it because he's so beloved and so good.
Yeah.
And no one can get away with anything. If you violate principle, you are going to pay the price one way or another. It may not be the way that you think it's going to happen to you, but one way or another, you'll pay the price. Now, we want to learn how to hit the ball from here to there. We want to learn the principle. If you want to do it by doing that, fine. If you want to become a chila and work under a guru and learn how to do things in India in some temple or other monastery, go for it. But the thing is, you don't have to do those things. Right now, you can start doing what you want to do. Right now, if you want it, you could take a golf ball and go hit it in your backyard, you know, and aim it at a certain place, at a certain place, at a certain place, until you put it there every time. Then, when you have put it there every time, you can be sure you have gained the principle, you have gained the fact, and you can apply it in every area of your life. We spoke about walking on fire and how people could do that perfectly, perfectly. And then they pick up a hot pan and they burn themselves. Stupid. What did they merely say about the hot pan? Oh, this is some more cool wet moss. The hot pan is more cool wet moss. And then it's cool. Would that be true? Yes, definitely. Because if you have trained yourself to believe that what you call a thing, it is. If you call it cool wet moss, it is cool wet moss. If you call the frying pan cool wet moss, it will not burn you when you pick it up. You say, well, most frying pans have wooden handles or something like that. Well, I'm talking about all iron a frying pan, you know, that gets hot. And so you have to use usually a mitt to pick it up. Now, think of this. How would you feel about yourself? Now, I'm going to contradict myself right now, but I want you to forget it. Jesus walked among the poor and the sick and the infirm everywhere. Now, did Jesus have a limit to his power? Could Jesus have healed, so to speak, everybody?
Yeah, if he wanted.
If he wanted to. But now, what did Jesus require of everyone that he worked with?
To admit that he can do it.
Do you believe you can be healed?
Yes.
Yeah. He required that they had to believe they could be healed. And in doing that, they turn over a new slate. They live in the now and turn over all those old habits. Well, now, perhaps Jesus did do this. Perhaps that's why he had 12 disciples. The 12 disciples were asking the people, do you believe you can be healed? Do you believe you can be healed? And few said yes. Few said yes. And in the hospitals where he went, few said yes. They didn't believe it. They didn't necessarily believe that he could heal them or not, but they do not believe. They could be healed. They did not believe. Now, that's the tough part. So, what you're doing when you look in the magazine and you treat all of these countries and you say, I surround you with my pure white light of love, all your ways are peace, you're in harmony now, whatever you want to say. And then that country is going to experience that, but it is not objecting to you. It is not even knowing that you're doing it. It has no idea that you're treating. It has no idea of anything. You merely are being yourself and having fun, and you merely are speaking your word, and you're merely getting results. And as you speak your word and get results, it's fantastic. Truly, it's fantastic. Now, is that what you want? Is that how you'd like to have it? Is that where you want to be? Good question, isn't it? Think about it.
It's better than criticizing the country.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, 5, 10 years ago, now, all the same. You can do it. Okay, now.
Well, how long?
Forever.
If every time you pick up a publication or something and you see problems, you say, all is in divine order. Sybil? How long will you have to pick up publications and see things in there that are negative and treat? A day or two?
Yes.
Hey, if you're going to speak your word and they're all in balance and they're harmonious nations, there'll be no more to heal, will there? And that's true. You see, people laugh when I say there are 7 billion people on Earth and only a couple hundred thousand people are, or maybe 100 million people are in prison and are in hospitals and are sick and stuff like that. Only that many. They're not many, really.
Comparatively.
You take a city of so many people in the United States, and depending upon the city, they have to have a bed rate. They have to have the ability to meet the bed rate of the people, the hospital bed rate. Well, they're less and less now. The big cities have big hospitals because they're getting big money from other sources to put up hospitals and things. But in most cities, it is only according to what is the usual need. And the usual need is very small. The city may be 1 million people, and one hospital does it usually. One hospital, maybe 100 beds or less. And they don't keep that filled. So, yes, how long? How long? Until you... looking at the magazine, there's nothing offensive. And you're not going to say, all is in divine order. Or maybe you're going to say, all is in divine order, to cover every little itty-bitty little nitty-gritty thing. And then it will be that way, too. Now, you might become exploratory, advanced in your thinking. You might say, Afghanistan is balanced and harmonious right now. And then the people of Afghanistan have their own self-governing government. The people of Afghanistan are happy with who they are. The people of Afghanistan have all the abundance and all the health needs and all the other things that are important to them. The people of Afghanistan have whatever you want to say. Now, what are you doing? Do you think that'll be their lot? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, do you think that this is what Jesus had done before we became aware of him? Did Jesus have to get permission in the hospital to go in and heal people? No. He just walked in. Do you believe? Oh, you're done. Pick up your bed. I know, leave your bed here and go. Go to the hospital. But the thing is, it can be done. I told you the story about Gertrude Eberhardt in Switzerland.
Yes.
She was a nurse. And she spoke her word every day. She got her doctorate and did all her work beautifully. And then she was speaking her word. And she was a nurse of this ward. And she'd say, before she went home each night, "You're all whole and perfect, you're all whole and perfect." And next morning she'd come virtually, the ward would be cleared out. And this happened until there was no more wards for her to clear. And so then she went into other administrative work. But now, did she ever write that up? No. Did she believe it? No. Did it actually happen? Yes. But if you would say, "Gertrude, you did that." "Oh, no. Yeah. She would say no, because she didn't want people calling upon her. She didn't want to do that job. We haven't done anything recently ourselves with our healing ministry on certain outer things. We just did not have the bodies to do it. I did what I could. And I handled maybe about 40 countries where the healing ministry is. And we're doing very nicely with it. But the big thing is, it should be done by somebody who just loves to do it. Maybe that's me. And maybe that's why I'm not interested in anything else. I tell Ellen, "Ellen, you make sure the money is there when I travel. You make sure that everything is taken care of. Ellen, you make sure that it's all done. You make sure the tickets are right. You make sure these things." And Ellen says, well, I said, "Ellen, what else have you got to do?" You know? I said, "Or do you want to go? You want to go?" "Oh, no, I don't want to go. I'm happy here. I'm enjoying the campus. This is too much paradise for me." And it's something. Her children that she could be visiting, but she's too much in paradise where she is. Of course, she's a modern-day girl, you know. She uses Skype. And with Skype, she's talking to her grandchildren, she's talking to her children, she's talking all and over in Norway, in Switzerland, and she's talking all over the world in the United States to different students on Skype. And they say, "Wow, we're talking face to face. You know, I can see your desk, it's a mess." You know? "I can see what you were doing," and stuff like that. And then, "Here, I got a question now. Is this a good picture here? Or is this, you know," and you hold it right up to the screen and you can see it clearly. Now, what a world we live in. What a modern mecca of wonderful activities. It's fantastic. It's just wonderful, isn't it? Yes, really wonderful. Did you have a question?
No.
No, okay. You were writing something down there. Okay, let's look here at what we're doing here. We're having the question and answer period of this right now. And so this is, "Quietly I observe the markings on my fingertips and flow with the melody of the physical body and its inner harmony, professional descriptions notwithstanding," smile. We have so many miracles about us. We have so many miracles about everything we do that it's just absolutely amazing. So it's up to us now to put these miracles to work. You look at your body and you know you could not begin to replicate it. You could not begin to duplicate what your body does. Your body is so fantastic. It's so amazing. It's just really beautiful. And yet doctors do work with bodies and they do work with things and they do it quite nicely. But we don't. We work only with consciousness. We work only with mind. We work only with the thought. And we work only with, "It is done now." And that's all that matters, and that's all that's there. Okay, now did you have any more questions at all? All right. Then we shall conclude this section here a little shorter. And it's a good time, 45 minutes. And we'll be ready for our next talk tomorrow morning, Lecture 4. Meditation sets a cause in motion for my identical health and ideal health and ideal health of everyone in the world. What a wonderful gift that is for everyone, including ourselves. I love